Savage God here, and this is New Village Jacket Episode 1. My special guest for today is going to be a good friend who served in Korea with me. He's a bright young guy, has a lot of passion, a lot of tenacity. He has a lot of similarities as me as far as love and passion for martial arts. And definitely in the comedy realm, this guy's gifted. So I'll let him introduce. Along with that, he'll probably advertise more of the avenues that he's been making his videos and skits on. Stay tuned. Let's get this shit started. All right, guys. So we're live right here. I got my special guest. I told you guys in the intro I will have him introduce himself. So go ahead, bro.
All right. My name is Xavier Mooring. I am currently on the rise to becoming a self-proclaimed social media influencer. My platform is mostly Instagram. I had to use the influential, you know, social media influencer because, you know, Savage God hates that name. So, you know, you want to check me out, going Instagram at Xavier L. Moore.
I dig it. So how's... So since people are just now being introduced to you, what do you offer on Instagram as far as being an influencer? Is it more like fitness? Is it martial arts?
I like to basically put my kind of like fucked up sense of humor into videos. So to give people enjoyment, to make them laugh, because I feel like laughter is the best medicine in the world. And I like to also repost other people's businesses or their social medias and basically help other people get discovered also.
Yeah. That's good. And I think that's a good thing about social media that a lot of people fall asleep on, unless it's like for their own gain. And a lot of them, they'll try to get monetized or they'll try to get sponsored and endorsed really quick, but they fail to understand that it's a community. So if you're not networking with other people that are on the rise, you know, you're either going to be a leech and try to ride their coattail, or you're just going to end up falling short and then just being a hater to everybody. So that's good to have that good vibes.
Yeah, like that's the number one thing that I figure out fast, because I wanted to do the whole I want to get discovered fast and quick. So my ass, of course, you know, my first thing was no one's going to follow someone that doesn't have a lot of followers. So I got the bright idea, like, right, you know, let me find some website online so I can buy followers from. So I saw, like, this one page was advertising for, and it was like, I know it sounds pathetic, right? But trust me, like, everyone did it before, or hopefully you listen to this and it stops you from doing it. But I pay, like, $25 for 5,000 followers. And I was like, that's honestly a good deal. So I go ahead and pay for it. And then I started getting huge influxes of followers, like, 120 people followed right now, like, so on.
But are they bot accounts, or is it that they funnel people who like certain posts and certain topics that you follow the criteria?
No, see that, yeah, that's where like completely fucked up my life, because it was bot accounts. So it was like a profile picture, a name that sounds realistic, zero followers, and following like 20,000 people. So it looked retarded. Like I'd have 9,000 followers and averaging like maybe 300 likes a picture. Like that just looks dumb. Like less than like 7% of your followers are like actually liking your stuff. So I had to go and literally click on every single one of those people and block them, like the fake account. So like make my numbers even, I guess you can say. And that's like, that's where I made my huge mistake, was sitting there thinking that I can basically cheat the system to success.
Yeah. So, I mean, is that your current pickle that you're facing right now? Or did you kind of find a loophole to be able to leave that and just start fresh, start new?
So I kind of found a loophole because I went and blocked all of them. So I started from basically the beginning again. And people don't realize that when you're trying to start up, you can't have success without helping someone else gain theirs, I guess you can say.
Yeah.
So you can't. So no one's just going to automatically go to your profile. Like, there's this misconception when you're trying to build, like, an Instagram or something, that you post good content and eventually people are going to come. Like, no, as good as that sounds, it doesn't work like that. Like, so a lot of my posts, like, I'll pay for promotions on it. So you pay the certain money. It's like how much money you want daily and how the duration you want it. So you can pick like 3 days, $5 a day for $15. And you'll basically put your brand or your profile as like an ad on people's things. So then that will bring on followers, because scrolling down, you see an ad, you don't ad. You know?
True.
So even like that, people are going to post a name if they like it. Hey, they'll give you. If they don't like it, then, you know, it's really just about getting the traffic to your page and to what you're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, it's a whole algorithm, a whole thing trying to build an Instagram. Like, I used to do Instagram and YouTube, but that was just too much. Like, the algorithms are too different. And it's just, then you start mixing up algorithms and it's just a mess.
So, like, what is your platform mostly based off of? Is it just mostly comedic skits?
Yes, because I want to hopefully move back to Los Angeles and actually try to be an actor rather than just living in D.C. doing nothing right now. Because I like making people laugh. So that's why. And plus, my mind is everywhere. So it gives me like an outlet to like put everything I'm thinking in my mind and like push it out to the world, basically.
Yeah. What about with like, because I mean, what type of venue would you chase after? Are you going to try to look for like casting options or movies or like small developed groups or?
So eventually what my game plan is, like, yeah, casting, that'd be nice. But I really want to build my page up and then pretty much start my own foundation, like make my own app where it's up and coming independent artists, like unsigned artists, whether you're acting, photography, singing, videography, just so everyone can basically go on that and support each other, you know?
That's what's up. So it'd be more, not like a free agent type of app where scouts can use that to find necessary talent. It's just more of like a MySpace
thing. Yeah, basically, where you basically show your brand off to the world and isn't another way to get known, because if that app builds and it gets big, eventually scouting, everyone's going to join the app too to find talent.
Fucking
hell. It's like 100% free. I don't want to charge anyone because I know how expensive it is to like try to get your brand out there, get your name out there. So 100% free.
Recording sessions too.
Yeah. Shit. Like, it, like, one of my friends, he actually wanted to be a whole rapper thing, and like, places charge like $120 an hour for studio sessions, and it's just ridiculous. Like, if I can save people money on that end, because a lot of people are like, yeah, they do the SoundCloud, but let's be honest, who really has a SoundCloud? Like,
hey, but you know, all these whack ass rappers though, they gain prominence from SoundCloud. I mean, I'm not gonna take any heat away from XXXTentacion, but all these other rappers follow the same suit and just following the hype of party music and drug paraphernalia type of music. I mean, it's birthed this new genre to come out from SoundCloud.
Yeah, but it's also like those people that got famous and got clout from that TikTok app right now, and Musical.ly and Periscope. It's like after that fails, after that crashes, what else do you have to offer to the world, you know? Like, when the party music era dies, like it currently is right now, and the whole mumble rapping is dying, like it currently is right now, all these other people, they're all these rappers that do that, they're not going to have anything to offer to the world anymore.
No, completely agree.
Yeah, like, okay, like, you're going to go be on, what, season 30 of Dancing with the Stars? Like, like, the mumble rap game, it's dying, and when it dies, like, they're not going to have anything else to offer, so they're going to die with it.
True. Next thing you know, they're going to be like, what's his face? Flavor Flav, you know, they're just going to have their own dating reality show.
Exactly, reality Flavor of Love. Like, like, I don't even know anyone who even watched that. Like, come on.
Yeah. Hey, Boots was bad as fuck, though.
Oh, Boots was bad as fuck. Gotta love old school VH1. Oh, yes, I got a question for you.
Yeah. What's up?
Why don't you listen to Joe Rogan?
Oh, shit. Oh, man. I think we're going to get into this. So
10 minutes in, we're already getting juicy.
For y'all that are listening, I said this on Periscope, but I probably didn't go into depth as much, but I guess I'll go it on here. So Joe Rogan, to me, the shit that I'm about to say, if it ever gets to his ears, I hope he understands that this is coming from a fan's perspective, but also a fellow man's perspective. And as a fan, I felt betrayed because his whole platform that he built off of his podcast, I said the first 500 was great because he didn't necessarily need Joey Diaz all the time, and which I don't think Joey Diaz is that funny as a comedian or as a person. But he wasn't so centralized off of the MMA world, which I thought was great because this is like his outlet to break away from just being labeled as an MMA correspondent. You know, he's also a person with a lot of curiosity and a lot of intrigue. But he fell off when he stopped talking about hypothetical sciences and aliens and all that, which I fell in love with when I started hearing him talk about that. And I think when he did an interview with like Graham Hancock, that's what really solidified him of expanding his curiosity of quantum physics and like astrological science fiction, essentially. And then when he started picking up with like Neil deGrasse Tyson and other credible astrophysicists and astrologists, they kind of shut him down really quick and made him feel like real insignificant. Like, wow, you still believe in this shit? Like, you need to unwrap that tinfoil around your head there, Joe. And after that, and I was like around, I want to say like episode 750 or so. And he just kind of, his whole temperament, his whole attitude about that subject just changed completely. And then when he would have other guests that would talk about it, and he would just like, he'd be so quick to just like debunk the shit and be like, oh, well, I think it's stupid. I don't think aliens really exist. No. And you look back and you're like, man, this dude built his whole empire off hypothetical talks, like what me and you were talking about. I enjoyed the relaxed environment that he brought because it felt like if you just dumbed down your mind for a minute, it felt like you were just talking to a group of friends in somebody's garage, just chilling. Nothing's going on, just good conversations and good vibes. And then, you know, I'm still an aspiring comedian, even though I've performed several times already. He's not that fucking funny. Like, he's intellectually, he's great. As a podcaster, he's great, even though he has some inconsistencies. But as a stand-up comedian, I just do not think he's funny. I think he's over-analytical. He yells a lot. And you know, I think his machismo type of attitude does not really work well with being a stand-up comedian. Because if you're just going up there and you're this big, muscle-headed, you know, martial arts enthusiastic type of person, you know, and you're an alpha male, like, it's gonna be hard for you to be passive on your jokes. It's gonna be hard for you to gain sympathy from people, especially if you're always out as the guy who's trying to progress and you don't know how to really beat yourself up and make fun of yourself and make that the centerpiece of your jokes. And he fails at that. And what really set me off was that, you know, he made a lot of his fame not just from Fear Factor, but people, and this is before the this is before the internet happened, where people saw the video of him pretty much dethroning Carlos Mencia at one of his own shows. Yeah. And he went up there on stage with Ari Shaffir, and he broke down like every single joke that Carlos Mencia has either rewritten and plagiarized or just completely and utterly stole and used it on his specials. And you know, if you really study stand-up comedy, you'll understand that there's a lot of prominent stars like Robin Williams, for example, where they have plagiarized. Plagiarism is a very common thing in exclusive stand-up. And, you know, for him to try to break that statistic, for him to oust somebody else, but he doesn't stay consistent with other comedians and holding them accountable, i.e. Amy Schumer, you know, that's where you kind of, you lose me there, because where's the consistency at? Is it because she's a female? Is it because you guys are pre-established friends? Is it because you guys are, you know, you guys have the same agents, or you guys have the same company that's investing in your guys' comedy specials? I don't know what it is. And I think that because he's now built himself an empire, he's afraid to criticize somebody like her because she already has her own establishment, regardless how I feel about her. And I just feel like he's kind of become a yes man, because it's just like in the military, you know, you see a lot of these people, they make rank, and the higher they go, they feel like once they fall, it's going to be a harder fall. So a lot of them, they're reluctant to want to intervene and make a change and stand up for what they believe in. And I feel like that's what he's doing. And a lot of his podcasts, I stopped listening to him about two months ago now. It's always the same motif where he brings in a self-proclaimed comedian and they're not even that funny. And, you know, I feel like he dick rides them a lot. I'd be like, dude, I'm one of your favorite fans. Dude, you're so funny. And then I'll watch these guys on YouTube and I'll watch their performances and I did not even get a smirk off.
Yeah, that's what I was feeling too. Cause like when you were saying, like when he talked about aliens and astrophysics, it made his podcast stand out, you know? Yeah. But now that he stopped doing them, he's just basically interviewing all these, like you said, self-proclaimed people, mates. It makes his podcast no different than anyone else's.
No. And I think that he's becoming more of a pseudo-philosopher, because people from different walks of science, he'll, like, nitpick certain things that they specialize in and what they talked about, and then he'll applicate that on the next guest. And I think that's what he's done, is, like, he's created a different identity based off of the people that he's interviewed. And that's why he constantly keeps changing it up. And I've noticed this, too. Another thing that makes me sketchy about him is that he has, like, this anti-Trump sentiment that he goes off of with certain interviewees. But the very minute you have a Trump supporter that goes on, he'll, in a nonchalant way, he'll speak his piece and be like, well, I don't support him. But his attitude and temperament of anti-Trump comments that he makes is different with people that are Trump supporters compared to people that are on the same line as him. Because he considers himself to be a fundamentalist and a libertarian. But I think that he just kind of favors with wherever the crowd is going and what seems to make him more popular and what's going to be more of an in crowd for him. And that's why I really can't stick with the guy too much.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from, because his podcast, say, it's like the same thing, just he's interviewing a different person every time, you know?
Yeah.
But
yeah. And it drags out too, especially like when he covers, he'll bring somebody in and he'll cover one specific situation, what's happening with current events or what a celebrity did or said, or it'll be one topic and it'll just be dragged out for 2 hours and there's no need for it.
So with you being like a stand-up comedian, right? How do you juggle between like basically your military life and also trying to joke between, you know, you being a comedian and doing stand-up? Like, where do you draw the line between work and play, I guess you can say?
Well, I mean, it's like the same thing as anybody who's a practitioner in any art. And what I've come to realize, I say my 7th year of being in the service, I realized that at one point in time, everybody's going to get out of this uniform one way or another. You're going to retire, you're going to get kicked out, you're going to get out after one term. You know, this isn't permanent. This can change a lot of your lifestyle habits. This can change, you know, the type of basis of friends that you got. But I'm going to enjoy the opportunity and experience that it has to offer, because, you know, being in the military, regardless of how long you serve, it's a different growing up experience that a lot of your peers back home will just never understand. I can illustrate this. I can make it into a movie. I can, you know, I can have you attached to me on a GoPro and you can see my everyday struggles.
Unless you like live but that life, you're not going to get it.
Exactly. And for me, I think time management is everything, because you get a lot of these young ass troops in this generation coming up where they're diagnosing themselves with depression, but they're the ones that self-inflict.
Yeah.
They're not getting out of the dorm rooms. They, you know, and it's a different generational gap, because you're dealing with kids that were infiltrated with Wi-Fi and touchscreen phones, and it's funner to stay home and just play video games and socialize with your friends over the internet. And because of that, you're creating this social abnormality. And a lot of these kids, you know, they don't want to foster any hobbies or recreational activities that they may be good at. And a lot of them, they get sucked into that frat boy party lifestyle. And because of that, it nullifies a lot of their talent. So if you're a singer and you start drinking and smoking, you're probably not going to be seeing people that are, you know, were studying languages, people that were in school, you know, you're going to join
a life-altering experience known as the military, and you're probably going to be detached from that old passion that you have. For me, I knew I was going to be a stand-up comedian one day because I was always told or always being held responsible for my antics at school and outside of school. And, you know, I loved stand-up comedy. My first stand-up comedy movie I ever watched was Raw with Eddie Murphy.
Mm-hmm.
And I just knew at that point, like, man, there's going to be a day I'm going to get on stage. Like, if you give me a microphone in an audience, I would kill it. I don't know how. I don't know what I would say, but I just know I would do it. And, you know, honestly, like, being the trainer I was at Korea, that was like a little practice for me. I was able to understand that I can find ways to captivate an audience from 40-year-old guys all the way to like 18-year-old boys, you know, and finding a common ground that they can all relate. They're all engaged. And, you know, the message comes across equally to every single people's ears.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the thing, and that when I, because when you were my trainer back in Korea, like, that's the thing that made me actually kind of look, not dick riding or anything, but like look, made me look forward to when you would give a presentation, because I wouldn't be trying not to fall asleep, because you actually put effort, you actually put heart into, you know, what you're saying. And when someone else is as motivated about a subject as you were, it kind of like grabs and holds the audience's attention. You know, if you're giving a brief and you don't want to give it, like, no one's going to want to even listen to it.
Yeah.
So since you went out and you made it exciting, you actually, and since you made us basically pay attention, it was like during, like, you know, the practical phase when you're screaming at all these little first basers, borderline making them cry, they're actually able to, you know, do what you briefed about.
Yeah.
But
I mean, and it really, it comes down to, like, to answer your question originally, it's when you're able, like you said, the passion and the drive, like, if you have both of those things, anything is possible. So I've met a plethora of people in the military where they wanted to do something, and I would pretty much categorize them all into those same cart. And after X amount of years, I would see within the first month, the same people that were jaw jacking, oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to stop doing that, I'm going to get back into this. Oh, bro, they fell short.
Mm-hmm.
And so that small cart just got smaller and smaller and smaller, to the point where I was probably left with single digits people. Two out of the seven that I can think of right now, they wanted to lose weight. They wanted to get back to their football physique. One, she wanted to get back into singing and playing the piano. And a couple others, they just wanted to get back into rapping and performing in different musical venues. And so, honestly, out of the remaining seven, only two of them are at the success that they wanted. And that's the girl who wanted to get back into singing with piano. And that's one out of the two guys that wanted to get back to their physical physique. It really comes down to discipline, man. Like, every day, no matter what walk of life you're trying to do, and this is outside the military, because again, we're still people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we still got passion, we still got talents. If, and this is gonna sound like Sister Act too, if you wake up in the morning and, you know, all you can think about is stand-up comedy, you're a stand-up
comedian. Mm-hmm.
If you wake up in the morning and all you can think about is singing, you're a singer. And that's how I looked at it. And it's crazy, because a lot of the motivation, a lot of the excuses that I make for myself every day to wake up, go to the gym, wake up, hit the bag, wake up and drink tea, fuck coffee. Every day I wake up and I'm thinking, like, you got to write a joke. You got to, whatever life experience you got for the day, write it down on your notes. That'll turn into a joke later.
Mm-hmm.
When you make excuses to motivate you, turn into habits, it becomes second nature. And, you know, you might not feel the passion because it's redundant and it becomes an everyday experience for you. But in the hindsight of it all, when you actually pay attention to whatever that craft is that you're doing, you will understand then that the small little contributions of your efforts going to your craft, it's going to make you prepared more than anybody mm-hmm. else. So, you know, for you, you want to be an influencer. Well, one of the things that I've noticed is that a lot of influencers, it's not the quantity of videos that they put out mm-hmm. every single day, every single week, you know. The intervals have nothing to do with it. It's the content involved, the quality that you offer. So essentially I'm saying it's quality over quantity. And that's healthy on both spectrums. You know, as an audience member, you don't pressure because you feel like you missed out on your news feed to be able to watch the new episode or, you know, listen to this podcast. But, you know, if you take the time as the performer to set a realistic interval between your performances and your skits that you present out to your audience. You know, you're not going to feel rushed. And anybody who's an audience member, you can tell when a product is rushed. You could just tell. So I think that, you know, for you to be able to work on your own pace, that's where you have to understand time management.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of people out there. I'm pretty sure there's people out at where you're at and people that we've met in Korea where they were gifted with something and they still found ways and excuses for them to balance both duty and what they want to do on the side. So it really comes down to the person themselves. Are they lazy as fuck? Do they have horrible ethics? Do they have shitty discipline? Are they not as dedicated and passionate as they claim to be? So it really is a case-by-case situation depending on the person.
Like for me, like when I wake up, you know, some days, and like I tell myself the night like before, like you have to film tomorrow, or you have to at least get a script written. And like some days I wake up, I just won't feel like it. And you got at that point, you got to remember, like remind yourself, like why did I start doing this in the first place? You know, basically got to find that self-motivation. Because honestly, no one's gonna help you out. Like in this day and age, like I face it myself, like a bunch of people, like on my Instagram, like I literally just made a big post about this. And I knew that minute I made the post, everyone would like come at me like, oh, what are you talking about? So I discovered that people will always say like, I support you 100%. But minute you ask them like the smallest thing, like, hey, can you share this video? Sharing someone's video, it takes literally like 3 minutes. You literally click the three dots, hit share, and you're done. But even that is too hard for people to do. So I made a post about it, and I was like, I think it's weird how like your so-called, in parentheses, like friends, like they would only say like good job or support you when you hit a giant milestone. Because, like, well, my video was, like, my very, like, couple weeks, months ago, no, about a month ago, it got over, like, 10,000 views and something. Then minute I made that public, like, hey, you know, first video or this video got X amount of views, and everyone wanted, like, flood my inbox, like, yeah, I'm supporting you, yeah, I'm rooting for you, love what you're doing, love your videos. But minute, like, a video that I don't, like, actually try to, like, promote or anything gets, like, maybe, like, a couple thousand views, my inbox is empty, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like your so-called friends always saying like, yeah, I support what you're doing. Like, I support your dream, but can't take like the 3 seconds out of their day to share your shit. Like, I just think that's like super selfish. And then, you know, if you ever make it big, you ever make it famous, they're going to be the first ones.
Oh, they'll come right back to you.
Yeah, they're going
to
be the first ones trying to get clout from you saying, oh, I knew them, or oh, I helped them, or hey, where's my handout?
Yeah. I mean, that's in man, we're definitely going to be having another episode. So my diagnosis about this whole virtual insanity is that as advanced as a lot of these social media apps have become, to where now you can intertwine business and have it primarily focused on, you know, using a business page, advertising your products, getting reviews, you know, finding ways to get sponsored for ads that your company or your merchandise gets paid off for. You know, it's crazy because you have a lot of people that are just average Joes, and they're looking at all these internet centric success stories, and they're like, well, you know, I want to make money. I want to be like these people, even if it's a scam. I want to be able to fan out hundreds of dollars bills and be able to go to Cabo and, you know, just live a nice life, especially those in the military. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a very fixed budget.
We have a shitty life.
Yeah. But, you know, as far as supporters, you know, it sucks because people are completely different. You know, I don't believe there's two words I don't believe in since 2016, actually. And that is the word racism. I'm definitely going to be covering this shit another time. It's racism and it's bipolarity. I don't believe in bipolarity because people will be like, well, you know, I'm not bipolar, but I know somebody who's diagnosed with bipolarity. No, I think everybody is bipolar to some degree. Because think about it. Ever since the internet has overcame almost everything known to man in our generation, people have developed a different alter ego behind the screen or behind the laptop. And we've seen that before. We've seen that with you know, people trying to troll and shit talk, but then they get confronted and they're completely different than what they are behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, or like when you meet a girl on a dating app and you guys are conversing on a messenger and she's so talkative and she's, you know, she's telling you everything she's about, what she does. And then you meet her in person and you find out she's just a fucking wallflower who barely says five words. Yeah. You know what I mean? So body develops a different type of, I wouldn't even say an alter ego, should I say. I think it's just more of like a condensed version of who you are. And so, of course, outside electronics, people are going to say one thing. They're going to be like, oh, I love you, bro. You know, you got my support. But behind the scenes, you know, you don't know how they are. Some of them, they would probably just habitually just flipping up and down on the news feed, mm-hmm. and they're just passing by your video because it's just not appealing to them. And that's something you have to understand, is that some people, they live off of the alter ego that's either been based off of the internet, their notoriety, their fame, their pussy count, whatever it is. And then you got people that are a completely different person outside the electronic world. So, you know, it's just different, bro. You got, I mean, how many times have we seen on YouTube or Worldstar, or even in real life, you'll see the dude that will, they'll rip their shirt off before a fight. They'll walk around slapping their hands, claiming how hood they are, claiming how hard they are. But then who ends up getting mollywopped? Who ends up getting dropped? That same fucking dude, you know?
The same dude talking shit gets knocked out by Big Country over there.
Yeah. And so that's, you know, I think that if you build that expectation that the masses are all transparent with what they're saying to you and it's legit, I feel like you're just going to set yourself up for failure. But again, I think that if you're producing good quality of shit out there for people, don't worry about the quantity of the feedback that you get. Just know that when the day comes that your high quality material gets seen by the masses, and I'm talking about appropriate eyes that really indulge in what you're saying, that's when you'll get the proper feedback. So there's not really a timeline for success. You just got to understand, nothing puts a price on a peace of mind. And if you're doing shit right, you're doing something that again has a lot of substance and a lot of quality, then that already by far is the best price you can offer for everybody else. And the feedback, when they do get it, they receive it and they give you your feedback back, that's going to be when you understand, wow, you know, I was expecting like 9,000 followers, but I got 3,000. But you know what, that's 3,000 more than what I got now. And the fact that I know that it's solid between me and these 3,000 people, I'd much rather have that than 6,000 surplus of fake followers and just half-assed supporters. So that's how I look at it.
Oh yeah, it's like you just came full circle when you were bringing up quantity over quality. It's like I'd rather have I'd rather have 100 full-on supporters, like fans, like rather than me having that nice little blue check mark by my name and having fake ass followers. Yeah. Like, I'd rather actually touch people's lives rather than just make it look like I am. And, like, the thing that was, like, basically gave me my breakthrough about this whole thing was I was watching this podcast with Gary Vaynerchuk. And he was...
I'm going to have to look this guy up.
Oh, like, his podcast's all, like, on business and growing and entrepreneurship. But he was saying the best way to grow your social media or grow being influencer is, it's hard. Like, it is very hard to do. But he was like, quit giving a shit about your views, your likes, your followers. He was like, just quit giving a fuck about that, you know? Yeah. Like, do and put out into the world what you're proud of to do. And if you're proud to do, eventually, you know, everyone will show, which it does, you know, like, so that's what really made like my videos and stuff breakthrough. Cause I would always like stress myself out. Like, I got to put something out that other people are going to like, I got to put something out that's like popular in the media right now. But that would just add so much innate unwanted stress. And then like,
And it becomes a very complex project that could be very, it'd be very basic, because if you were to just do it your way without appeasing to anybody else, you know, it'd be effortless.
Exactly. And then like, so I will look at my old videos like that were following the hyping everything, and it's like I just feel like disgusted with it. So at the end of the day, it's like that's not what I wanted to create, you know. I only did it because it was popular. And honestly, like, gaining the popularity from doing something you're not proud of, like, that's like, it's not worth it to me. That's why, like, every year I'll make a video basically like me telling like my life and everything, and then the next year I'll film like the same video just to see like how my life changing a year. And like the one big thing about I didn't want to see happen was all these videos of people basically getting famous by like going to restaurants, just like disrespecting people, or like going out in public and just being rude to like service staff and everything like this. That's the one thing that like I don't want to see me do, is basically go out and like throw out my self-respect for a like, you know. But you see these people like trashing all these toy stores and like throwing drinks and stuff at people just for a laugh on social media. Like, that's not what I want to do. I'd rather not be known rather than be known doing that.
Yeah. You know, I like following people that are triple threats. People like Jamie Foxx, even beyond his arrogance.
Mm-hmm.
I do respect him as a person, because he's one hell of an actor. He's one hell of a singer and stand-up comedian. Only, oh my God, this guy's got it.
Mm-hmm.
But I also fuck with Childish hard. I like Childish, like when Centipede and Freaks and Geeks came out. So I'm talking like prior to Because of the Internet.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think once we all prosper and grow and we're able to realize, like, look, you know, I used to care about the fads. I used to care about getting pussy. I what people thought of me. And I know the social media world does not do us any justice, because it brings in a lot of external stresses and a lot of complexities that we don't need, but we accept it. And when we finally wake up and realize, you know what, like, this ain't me. I need to go back to what is me. What makes me happy?
Mm-hmm.
Once you find that shit again, as a grown ass adult who's more established, not saying you're fully established, but once you're more established, you understand what it's like to lose yourself. You understand what it's like to be a sellout, and you don't like the repercussions. You don't want to go back to that. Mm-hmm. So once, and it sounds to me like you already woke up, bro. So I think that just as a nice reminder, like, you should just do what makes you happy, and the people that you would want it to appeal to. If it doesn't appeal to them, then you have to understand, all right, well, are you really my friend, or do we just walk to a different beat, but exactly, we can still cohabitate as friends? And if the answer is no on all spectrums, then you have to realize, okay, well, do I need to shave this fat off my life? Because, you know, like you were saying earlier, you know, you need to adopt that mindset of quit worrying about your followers, quit worrying about your viewers. And that's why a lot of these internet sensations, they've dissipated. You know, all the YouTube stars have gone.
Mm-hmm,
like, and a lot of them, they fell short, because when YouTube became a monetized platform, a lot of them, they were doing everything and anything to the extremes just to be relevant, just to be exciting. And, you know, some of them, they fell short with the law. Some of them, they fell short with finances. Some of them, they did something that made them lose their employment. And, you know, like people like SoFlo Antonio, one of his worst things he did was he would download other people's content and then put it on his videos as like a transition or as the actual main entree of his video and not credit them at all. And he was making all the profit.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you keep your shit original, you keep it to where 10 years from now you could review it and you'd be proud of yourself knowing that that's you and not a facade. Just do it, bro. Just do it. That's why I'm doing this. And I'm not really advertising it. I'm not trying to get sponsored. I'm not trying to get any ads and all that, because I'm a little scared about the whole monetization world, how that works too much. But, you know, I just want to do this to get my voice out and to hear other people's perspective and outlook on life and hopefully grow something out of it. So,
like, the whole YouTube spectrum, like people vlogging, like there's only so much you can do with vlogging. So you have every major vlogger copying everyone else's ideas, and it's basically like, I'm watching the same thing. Like when that Carolina Reaper pepper came out, like everyone's video is only eating the Carolina Reaper pepper. Like that's why that one little kid, the highest paid YouTube, he's 7, clearing over $22 million a year, because he does his toy reviews. No one else does toy reviews on YouTube. Like, they don't. And so that's why he's making money, because he's original. But all these vloggers are thinking, like, they're going to have some big success with vlogging. Like, unless you're doing something that no one else is doing, then you're not going to do anything with it.
True.
So
hey, maybe what you can do is fuck today and tomorrow and the next day. You can sit down and be like, look, let's clean up this office desk and let's start anew. Let's do this. We do a skit. This is how far I want to go. These are the innuendos I want to bring in. This is shit that's funny to me, so I'm gonna bring this element in. And just trademark that as you, man.
Mm-hmm. It's like, that's a lot of things with, like, the videos I do. Like, I have a bunch of, like, I have, like, maybe, like, 15, 20 scripts written out, right? Mm-hmm. But then I'll be showering or something. And then, like, I'll be at work and, like, something just happens. And then, like, it just clicks, like, I gotta make this skit, you know? So that's how it's like. Like, I'll sit there and, like, stress out, like, what skit do I want to make? Like, what costumes, what, like, lighting, what this I need. But a lot of the times, like, the stuff that I put on, like, it wasn't planned. Like, I'll just sit there, I'll buy something, and then all of a sudden, I'm like, wait, I can make something out of this. It's like a lot of creators, they can't stress themselves out, is what I'm trying to say. Like, stress themselves out, like, when am I going to do this? A lot of that stuff, if your brain's constantly thinking about it, that's going to be the only thing you think about. So the ideas, they will come. The ideas, they will flow.
Yeah. But the good thing that, see, and I'm not sure if you do this because I said it before, I'll take notes every day. Like, I legitimately have over 300 something notes just from the last year. Every day, if I go grab food somewhere, if I run into somebody, I mean, shit, just the year I've been here in Japan, I think most of my 300 something bullets that I put on my fucking notes is something about my interaction with Japanese people. I mean, one of my favorite ones is, there's three ways that Japanese people say yes. It's hi, yes, yes, sir. You know, those are the three different renditions. So I can turn that into a joke. I could turn that into like a quick intermediate joke, or I could turn that into, you know, a drawn out spiel. But the fact that I was able to record that thought, because, you know, it's just like anything perishable, you know, when it's fresh in your mind. Well, you know, it excited me, so I'm going to remember this. And then 5 hours later down the road, you hella forgot what just came up to your mind.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's like that statistic. Like, the next day, you've forgotten about 70, it was like 78% of your day.
Yeah. So you gotta build that notebook, man. I just use notes on my iPhone. That's it.
That's what I use. Do the whole Siri thing. I just say the notes and then she records it. Then I'll like read back on it. It's like, I'll tell the notes to her and then she'll record it. And then I'll just go on with my day. And then like the next day I'll read the notes and it completely does not fucking make sense. Yeah. Now I'll sit there and like, she's making some weird fucking sentences that don't even make sense. And I can't even tell what I was thinking about.
Well, I mean, sounds to me like you have a very similar MO as me when it comes to bright ideas that just come impromptu when you're not expecting
mm-hmm.
it.
But yeah, like people, they don't understand this whole social media game. Like, they don't. And a lot of them, like what you're saying, they're just going to crash and burn from it because it's going to be like Facebook and MySpace. They are going one day, very soon, Facebook's gonna be like MySpace and it's gonna crash. YouTube is going to crash. Like YouTube, it was like a couple weeks ago actually, it went down for like 30 minutes and like all the tweets on Twitter was talking about YouTube. When that platform crashes, like that's when you're gonna see like all the fake entrepreneurs and everything. Like, you're gonna see how much they really want like that entrepreneur life. Because when YouTube crashes, what do they have to offer the world now? All the vloggers, boom, your main platform crashed. Now what? What are you going to do?
True. Unless they, well, the one thing that saved in a spec, I don't even know how to say it. So social media, we can obviously give credit that Facebook has monopolized a lot of these successful apps.
Oh, yeah.
And so I think if, for example, YouTube were to crash, you still got video outlets out there that can still produce URLs for other sub companies and sub websites. So it'll branch off to Google, it'll branch off to Spotify, it'll branch off to iTunes and all that. So I think if like YouTube were to fall apart and completely dismantle, which I could highly doubt for a lot of reasons,
I think that Facebook and another app would probably rebirth that, if not give life elsewhere. Mm-hmm. But as like you were saying with a lot of these vloggers that their main income was from YouTube, I think that they'll by the time that it were to hypothetically happen, they should already be mature, fully knowledgeable, and fully invested to be able to move on to a different app or a different website or a different business route.
Yeah, but like also say like what if YouTube crashes and they do have to go to a whole new platform. I want to see like how motivated they are to understand, like say YouTube crashes, how to move to Facebook. I want to see how motivated yeah. they are to sit there and watch Facebook's algorithm of how they people's pages get popular on that. Because honestly, like no one's page is going to get popular just from friends sharing it. Like that's not going to happen.
It's way too archaic.
Yeah, like if that were the case, everyone would be famous right now. But I just want to see, like me with Instagram, like I sat there and dedicated like weeks just sitting here watching videos and trying to understand Instagram's ever changing algorithm. Like they change it like every like 6 months, so like I got to like keep staying on top of it. But that's why I'm excited to see on how if. All these YouTubers, if they were sit there and take the time to understand how Facebook's algorithm works, and I would guarantee you like 75% of them are not going to have the motivation. They're going to count their losses and, you know, they're going to pull that. I'm going to wait for YouTube to come back up and then I'll start again.
Yeah. And I think that would create a hiatus for a lot of them where they're either going to freak out mm-hmm. and jump ship before it comes back, or some of them, they might actually be amorous enough to try out platforms like this, for example, have impromptu podcast conversations with people and show some sort of genuinity and authenticity to what they stand for. But, you know, I think at the end of the day, a lot of it's embellishment, a lot of it's sugarcoated. Like, it's funny because I was just talking about one of those stars. I'm not sure if you know who Leanne Valenzuela is.
I don't. Not familiar.
So she's this Filipino chick. She mostly rose to stardom from Vine. Mm-hmm. And she hung out with like King Bach and okay. King Batch, my bad. And she's a mediocre singer. She's not that great, but she's fine as fuck. She's in great shape. And you know, a lot of her videos are just corny as fuck. Mm-hmm. And she was still following that kind of Vine motif. And you know, she was using a lot of overplayed frames of like challenges and dance moves and all that. And again, she's a mediocre singer. She's not that great. But I think that her entrepreneur route that she took was looking good, starting from Vine, making Vine posts shareable on all other social media outlets. And that's when people was intrigued and knew who she was. So when they finally realized that she's on Instagram, they followed her so that they can follow her on other pages. And then, you know, when she made 1 million viewers, that's when she started pushing off more YouTube videos of her singing and all that. And, you know, and it's just like the Kardashian syndrome. You're just talentless, but you look good mm-hmm. and you're made of money. That's what it really comes down to. And, you know, you have to really ask yourself one day, you know, if you were to just randomly give me $1 million, I would take that shit in a heartbeat. How would I feel about $1 million versus earning it rather than getting it just randomly given to me? I'm going to be different about it.
Yeah.
I'm definitely going to handle it differently. And I think a lot of people nowadays in this day of age, you know, when they see the other stars, so to speak, are making that money, they only look at the net value, but they don't understand behind the scenes mm-hmm. how much struggle they had to do, how much hustling they had to do, how much money they had to drop for ads, paying for agents, paying for recording sessions. And that's the same lifestyle for a lot of these rappers, that people think that they're made of millions,
yeah.
but it's just that's advance money that they are given in order for them to stay relevant. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think if, you know, going back to original subject, I think that if you are legitimately passionate in something and you are offering high quality substance in what you're pushing out, whatever merchandise, whatever podcast, whatever material that you're giving people, if you're not focused on viewership, you're not focused on monetizing, you're not focused on popularity and relevancy, people are going to notice. Because, you know, you see a lot of these channels, like we were talking about YouTube. I was a little heartbroken to see that Epic Mealtime is still around.
Yeah.
But they're struggling because they went from an average of 64 million views per video to barely breaking 500,000.
And it sucks because you look at it as a fan, and I started analyzing that they just do the same shit. They just bring in a lot of these drawn out Canadian stereotypes with, you know, Jack Daniels and what's the other one? Just bacon everything. And, you know, when you're not changing it up, and the reason why that they were losing a lot of fandom is because they were relying on a lot of these guests. So they'll bring in people like, what's that one Russian dude that fires off a fuck ton of guns? FPS Russia. So they brought in like FPS Russia, and then they brought in another celebrity, and brought another celebrity, and then it got old. And, you know, they were doing the same thing over and over. And it's so crazy how their empire was just built about five years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're almost non-existent. Nobody talks about them at all. And, you know, were they bringing in some high quality shit? Yes. But, you know, you have to keep a nice balance between who you are, what you are really passionate about, and understanding how society is changing. Now you have to find that middle man of, this is where I ought to be because of the world being this way. I don't want to change, but if I want to stay relevant, I need to spice things up without being a sellout to myself. So that's that. I could see why people get stressed out all the time if they're trying to make a difference using social media to push out whatever it is that they want to push out.
Oh, yeah. And it's like back in the day when the whole Musical.ly app was all popular, like I would follow like people from like Musical.ly on Instagram, like see that. And now, like, I'll look at their Instagram now, and all they're doing is reposting their old videos from Musical.ly because they don't know.
Yeah.
They don't know how to adapt from Musical.ly to Instagram. It's like the whole Vine. It's the whole Vine to, it's like Vine to Instagram thing also. Like the same stuff and videos that worked for Vine. Like Vine, people didn't care about the acting because you only had, what, 7 seconds, right?
Yeah.
Like you only had so much time. So they didn't care about the acting. They cared about the punchline, cared about the jokes, they cared about the content. But with Instagram, you have a whole minute. So now everyone's looking at the whole story, the acting, and people weren't ready for that when they tried to transfer from Vine to Instagram, because they thought, you know, it's videos, it's social media, it's going to be the same thing, though. The same thing that got me popular on this app will get me popular on this, on a different app. Like, it doesn't work. It's not going to work like that, because people are looking for two different things when they're looking at Instagram videos versus Vine. And that's why
when... Yeah, that was a mouthful.
Yeah, like the Musical.ly to Instagram, that one was just ugly. Like,
yeah, I never got into Musical.ly. I stopped, I don't know, like my whole passion, like Snapchat was dead to me within 6 months. I was having fun with it, but I think the overusage of filters and people transferring photos and captured videos from Snapchat to other venues, I wasn't having it. It was overused, you know. Twitter, I never jumped into Twitter. I see that. I don't know. You got to have like a different mindset to have a Twitter. It's so congested in that platform. And it sucks because you have to find a nice balance of staying in touch with everybody and still managing to have your own life. And I think Facebook is pretty good still for the most part of keeping your privacy at your control.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, for people like you and me that want, you know, mitigate that complexity, mitigate that stress, mitigate, you know, having to appease a certain company or appease a certain crowd, you know, I'd say just like friends, you know, the smaller your circle of friends are, the better you're off.
Mm-hmm.
The smaller circle of apps and smaller circle of things to oblige yourself to, the better you are. The more focus you have on the remainders, and again, you'll push out better quality without any sort of congestion, no stress, no mixed views, no impartial energy whatsoever. Or partialized energy, you'll be fine.
Snapchat was the best for me when they blocked screenshots. Like, you couldn't screenshot at all. Like, it disabled screenshots. That's when Snapchat was the best for me. But now that, you know, you can replay snaps and you can screenshot and you can screenshot chats and everything. Like, now, I don't even communicate on Snapchat now. Like, I can snap, if I Snapchat you 3 times, you can be my number one best friend. Like, all I use Snapchat for is networking. Like, I use all other social media apps just to network my Instagram, so that's my main platform. Like, shit, I even use Tinder and Bumble to network my Instagram.
Like, I literally put on my bio, a long bio, and I put, don't really useless, message me on Instagram. And then I'll get messages on Instagram from Tinder and Bumble. Do I ever respond? No, but it's still another view or another follow. So
yeah,
it's all about networking. Like, it's like the saying, it's not how good you are, it's who you know.
Yeah. I'm a definite believer in that. As much as I try to go past it, sometimes I have to fall short and go back to that saying and be like, yeah, you're right. But I think that's another thing too. Like, if you keep that discipline and you keep that integrity of who you are, like, people, that speaks volumes, and people notice that, and they'll know how substantial you are and how genuine you are. And you know when people say, like, actions speak louder than words. If you keep on the consistency of producing the stuff, regardless of the number of views, and you keep it, you're not deleting it out of shame, and you're showing it, there's going to be a set of eyes or so that's going to run into that page, and they're going to see that and be like, this guy's fucking funny. This guy's talented. Holy shit, he went from, and like you were saying about algorithms, there's a lot of people out there that will study viewing patterns and how much followers you got, and they'll be able to kind of decipher how much people that are following you are real followers versus bot followers. And so when they see that, they're going to notice real talent when they see it, and they're not going to want that to go. It's perishable. So you're going to get the set of eyes as long as you just, again, you show consistency. You're not folding for anybody. You're not folding for a new fad. You're not folding for girls. You're not folding for, whatever could be a main distractor to you. If you just stay true with the path that you are doing already, as long as it makes you happy, you're good, bro. It will get noticed.
Yeah, like, I find it weird when, like, someone follow my Instagram, I'll look at their profile, and they have, like, 21,000 followers, but they get 57 average, like, 50 likes a picture.
Yeah.
Like, it just looks weird. And, like, back what you were saying, when you were saying social media, like, builds up this wall, like, people look all tough and look all, what am I trying to say? They look all confident and everything on their social medias. And then when you talk to them in person, it's like they're all shy, timid. And it's like you build up this alter ego between you, who you are in life, and who you are on Instagram. And, like, when you're in life, you can't distinguish the two, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yep. Well, as long as you're transparent. I mean, be smart, obviously, because a lot of people out there, they'll be way too honest. Mm-hmm. They'll open themselves up, and all you're doing is allowing people to understand your vulnerabilities so that they can conjure up a nice weapon to use against you. So
yeah, you and I both know being too honest leads you to nothing but getting in trouble.
Damn right.
Yeah, that being blatantly honest has done nothing but get me in trouble at work. That's all it has done.
Fucking A. Well, all we can do now is just stay in sync with who we are outside the uniform and just keep chasing after our next endeavor.
Hey, man, two more years, and two and a half more years, I'm retiring this uniform. I am done.
All right. Well, shit, I might have to come hit you up after. We'll see.
What, you done too?
No, I'm stupid.
You're doing 420.
I guess we'll talk about this either offline or on the next podcast I have you on.
Hire 10-year staff, sorry.
I know, yeah, you're right. Well, shit, man, it's been a fucking blast, dude. Again, you're gonna be a recurring person. So everybody that's listening, don't be all heartbroken and all that. Xavier is definitely gonna be coming on multiple times. If not coming on here, he'll be coming on my face. Hey! Oh my.
I am a giver, not a taker, so, got to keep it classy. Yeah. But, hey,
if you want to, go ahead and drop off all your screen names and all that so people can follow you, too.
All right, one last thing, and, like, for, like, all the reoccurring guests, I'm, like, split. I have, like, multiple personalities, so next show, you might get a whole different personality. This one was, like, influential, like, motivated me. Next one will probably be depressed me. But, on Tinder, just see your location to Washington, D.C., and you'll probably find me. Instagram is at Xavier Elmore, XAVIERLMORE. And that's about it.
Fucking A, bro. Well, I fucking miss you, man. Love you a bunch. We'll definitely be jumping into some other topics another time. And hopefully we'll do like a tour.
This was episode one, so I appreciate you being my first guest of many. So,
man, I feel so special for that. And of course, man, even with this whole time difference, we can still knock out 1-2 hours for this.
Fucking A. Well, shit. Pleasure. I'll definitely keep in touch. Again, appreciate you being on here.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Fucking A. All right, everybody. Well, this will wrap up episode one. Until then, peace, love, and fried chicken.
Peace, love, and fried chicken.
Fucking A.